Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Sports Network. It's a daily show, yes, daily, covering the Cavs and the NBA at large. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. If you'd like to submit questions, inquire about an ad, or just say hi, email the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes as it helps other people find the podcast. Now, here is today's show. Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, the Locked On Sports Network. I'm Chris Manning, an editor at FearTheSword.com and a staff writer at Hardwood Paroxysm. And today I'm joined by our Chicago Bureau Chief. It's Carter Rodriguez. Carter, what's up?
Happy to be here, Chris. Had a little mimosa brunch, got a haircut. I've had a very productive day.
Oh, that's good. That's a lot more productive than me. I've been in basketball shorts and a flash t-shirt since like noon.
So sure.
I'm just chilling. Today we're here to talk about USA basketball. The Olympics are starting up soon, and Team USA basketball is always, for me at least, the biggest thing I watch. Like, I know swimming's really cool and track and field's great, but I'm a basketball junkie, and I want to watch USA basketball, men's and women's. Unfortunately, we're not going to talk a ton about the women's team. I think touching on a little bit at the end will be worthwhile, but because this is a Cavs podcast, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving and the men's team mostly. But to start, Carter, there are several really great American players that are not playing in this on this Olympic team. You have LeBron James, most notably, Stephen Curry, almost notably, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. You have a lot of guys that are NBA stars in their primes that aren't playing. Blake Griffin's another one. Do you care that those guys aren't playing on this team?
I don't know if I don't care. I just think it's a situation where there are real positive and negatives to each situation. I think when you have the very, very, very best guys coming to play, there's something sort of fun and cool about that. You get to see LeBron James play with, you know, these unbelievable players at every position. You get to see how these really, really unique skill sets all mesh into one team. And that's really cool and fun. And, you know, it helps, you know, with someone's legacy. I was, you know, privately a little bummed that LeBron was going to be playing in his fourth Olympics. But on the other hand, at this point in USA basketball, the team just murders everyone based on the state of international ball. And the fact that they actually, you know, put together a program with a consistent coach and identity, it's just kind of almost too easy. And even the really limited teams we've seen in the past, like the FIBA World Cup team 2 years ago, that everyone thought, oh, well, they might get challenged a little bit because a lot of their good guys aren't there. And it was fine. They still killed everyone for the most part. So because of that, it's kind of more intriguing as a fan of the overall competition if the quality of the U.S. team is just a little bit lower. They're just a little bit more vulnerable, right?
Yeah, and I also think it's an opportunity for guys to sort of blossom in different ways. I mean, this is Draymond Green's first, I believe it's his first time on a senior national team, which is big for him.
It is.
Kyrie,
yeah, 100% is.
Yeah, it's Kyrie, and he deserves it for sure, and he's really, because he's really, really good. And Kyrie Irving's there without LeBron James, which I think is big, and it's on the Olympic team, and he's playing for Coach K, and Coach gets lots of Olympics. I think his star is going to get really big. It's Durant. This is Durant's team in a lot of ways. Like, I know Carmelo's the senior member of this team, but like, this is Durant's team, and I think that's sort of cool in a lot of ways. It would have been cooler. I actually would have enjoyed the soap opera aspect of it if it was like Russell Westbrook was also on this team. Like, I would have loved that, but like, obviously that's not happening. But then, even go down, it's like, even if they're not, like, they get hated on a lot, but, like, it's kind of cool that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan and Harrison Barnes are on this team. And DeAndre Jordan, too. Like, it validates them in some ways. Like, I think as much as,
you know,
like,
what I don't think is cool? What? DeMar DeRozan on the national team.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, Harden's not playing.
It's cool for him.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's cool for him. Like, it's cool for Raptors. Cool, it's cool for Raptors fans.
Anyone in the viewing public.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. But, like, I mean, not only who, but also just don't know who would have been the shooting guard over him if Harden stopped playing. Like, I don't know who else you would have, like, slid on. Like, are you here for? I mean, I'm here for Dion Waiters, Olympian.
I was like, just kind of joke. I was watching the scrimmage with Argentina with a friend. I was joking, like, I would have rather had Zach LaVine on this team. Yeah. He would have at least done some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, some crazy stuff. If you're just not a shooter and you're not the very, very best player, I just don't have any place for you on these Olympic teams. Yeah. Like, that's fair. I just want you to be super cool and versatile. And DeRozan's like, when you have Melo on an Olympic team, Melo does all these cool different things that he can only do within the context of an Olympic team, right? DeMar DeRozan, if he's out there, is going to have to do exactly what he does every other time. And it's just going to be every time he has the ball and takes to the rack and gets fouled, it's a time that Durant didn't get to do it or Paul George didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry to any weird stray Raptors fans we catch here, but I'm fine with Kyle Lowry, but DeMar DeRozan, I'm genuinely going to be bummed if he plays a lot.
Yeah, I'm okay. It's fine. Like, he's not going to play much, I don't think. I think they'll play in blowouts and whatever. Like, he's there for insurance. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. I think the general talent level is lower because you don't have LeBron and you don't have Steph and you don't have Harden and Russell and all those guys. It would have been, honestly, and Kawhi. Kawhi isn't on the national team. I can't imagine.
I was bummed about Kawhi. I wanted to see national team Kawhi.
Like, can you imagine if they would have, like, been able to get everybody? Like, let's say they get all the prime guys. Let's say it's, like, say the CP3 now. He's going to sit out or Russell Westbrook sits out. I would have, like, drooled over a five of, like, Curry, Durant, like, played Durant as a huge two, LeBron, Kawhi, and, like, let's say, like, Draymond or Carmelo. Like, I would have drooled over that five. Like, that would have been amazing. Even just, like, LeBron, Kawhi, and Durant on the floor at the same time. Like, amazing. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I did a little thought experiment, like, before everyone started pulling out of, like, you're the most fun five-man unit you could build. And my go-to lineup was LeBron at the one, Paul George at the two, Durant at the three, Kawhi at the four, and Draymond at the five.
Oh, my God.
Just this horrifying shooting, switching, athletic, just behemoth. Was just like, oh, man, I was losing my mind thinking about how fun that would be.
Oh, that'd so, be, if it's yeah, for I mean, 2 minutes, I'd watch that.
Yeah, so it's just like a little bit more limited here, but you do get to see guys thrive in roles that we wouldn't have expected, you know? Like at that FIBA World Cup 2 years ago that Kyrie won MVP of, if the whole you know, national team was going, maybe he doesn't break out like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely, I think the talent level is more than fine enough to win. It's not like they're sending bad players out there.
Yeah, they're not sending, and they're not sending like really young guys like Brandon Ingram or D'Angelo Russell or guys like that are really young and kind of like not good. Like, they're good, but they're not like star level good yet. Like, if they played Argentina, they're like, you'd probably lose if you're throwing out a bunch of the really young guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think it's fine. I think the talent level is fun. It'll be interesting. I think it's just bad enough. It's just low enough that if a team on a really, really good day during these Olympics might be able to challenge them. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to talk about that on a different pod. But yeah, I think they're just bad enough that they could be challenged.
Yeah.
But they probably won't be, just to be clear.
Yeah. Actually, I think there's a couple guys on this team, and Kyrie is one of them, and we're going to have another podcast about him, so we can talk about him like a tiny bit and how he fits in. But I think Kyrie is the guy who's going to kind of make a lot of this sort of function, which is a really cool role for him. And I think his star is going to rise because of it. But I also think he's going to be really instrumental in setting up guys' rises. Like, I think DeMarcus Cousins is going to be, like, validated in a lot of ways because of these Olympics. And I think Kyrie has a big part in that. Like, I think Kyrie running pick and rolls with Boogie is going to murder people in the Olympics. Like, they're going to be playing, like, they played the exhibition game against China, and Zhu Kui, like, that guy has no chance against Boogie. And they're going to play teams that have no matchup for Boogie Cousins. And DeAndre Jordan to a lesser extent. And, like, Kyrie's going to be feeding these guys. And I think that's, like, a very unique thing for Kyrie.
Yeah, I think that what if we're looking for like roster deficiencies on this team, there's not like a lot of like pure setup men.
No,
you
know,
normally
really
you have Chris Paul. Normally you have LeBron, who just functions as this ridiculous point forward. This team, you know, it's got Melo, Barnes, Butler, Cousins, DeRozan, Durant, George, Green. Like, not Lowry's pretty good at setting up. Clay is not a setup man. Like, there just aren't really any guys that just, like, yeah, there just, like, aren't a lot of guys who just, like, specialize in getting other teammates going. So I wonder if Kyrie's going to develop, going to have to be a bit more of a playmaker, not like a super high scorer, but a guy who just, you know, gets them into their offense a little bit.
I think he has to be quite honest with you. Like, I think it's very clear he's Coach K's guy at point guard. It's very clear that he's, you know, a guy who is going to have to set up guys. Like, I mean, opening tip, he was setting up, he was providing ball pressure and setting up Durant and setting up Paul George and setting up all these guys. Like, I think that's kind of his role in this team, which he did a little bit in the last FIBA World Championships. And it's what he does when he's playing a little more comfortably, a little more free-flowing, a little bit more organized, I guess, for lack of a better word right now. But, I mean, because it's interesting because he's – I remember listening to David Griffin was on the Vertical Podcast with Woj. I don't know if you listened to this. But David Griffin was talking about how, like, one of the pitches for Kyrie was that they were going to play this, like, very beautiful style of basketball under David Blatt. And we're not going to ever see that with the Cavs, I don't think. Like, at least this rendition of them with Kyrie because of LeBron and because of all these things. This is the closest you're going to get Kyrie kind of playing that point guard where he's doing a little... He's doing scoring, but he's also really setting up guys and doing some other stuff that are part of his skill set that we don't see a lot, and I think he gets knocked for partially because of that.
That makes sense, and it just stands to reason that, like, everyone can kind of flex muscles they don't get to flex on their traditional NBA rosters.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the interesting thing here. In different situations, like I already mentioned Boogie, and he's sort of to me like an example of that because here's a guy who gets maligned for his attitude, kind of deservedly in his poutiness, but he plays for the most dysfunctional franchise in the NBA. Like he plays for the Kings.
I'd be pretty frustrated too.
I'd be super frustrated. Like the fact that he was tweeting like, "Oh, I was doing hot yoga during the draft, like, it kind of just, and he had to, like, later backtrack and all stuff. It just speaks to where he's at in that situation. And he's a guy who's going to come in here. And, yeah, he's not going to have the type of role he's capable of having as, like, the star player or a co-star on a really good team or something. But he gets to sort of function in a more positive, structured environment where, like, the energy's really good. He's playing with other really good players. And he's playing for a coach and an overall USA basketball structure that's just very, very good and is very polished and sort of knows how it works. And post the 2004 Olympics has really just kind of become like, okay, that is not happening again. Like, they've just kind of made that their thing. We're like, we are not going to get a bronze medal again. We have the best players in the world. We're America, and we're playing basketball, and we should be winning that. And I think that's like that makes everybody better. And that's also, I think, why you get guys that they love these experiences, especially when they're younger, because they get to meet other really good players, which has become like a recruiting tool. And
yeah, I was about to say, form super teams, ruin competitive balance.
Adam Silver is just like, get the college kids in the Olympics. But, I mean, it's a really good positive experience for, I think, pretty much everyone on the roster. And, like, we can't speak to that, but it's just, at least directly and first personally, but you get the whole thing where guys talk about that. And I think for a Boogie Cousins and, like, this is where you get to break out a little bit and kind of change the perception of you as a player.
Yeah, and I mean, and the fact of the matter is, Boogie is like, he's the only post-up player on the roster. And I think that he's really going to get to eat against some of these smaller, more frail opposition. I think he has a real chance to break out. And I think even DeAndre, who I'm not the biggest fan of, and I'm kind of critical of him, but he is just, I mean, you watch that Argentina exhibition. And the teams have no chance of keeping him off the boards.
They really don't.
It is just so freaking unfair. And he's got these long arms. He can jump higher than everyone. His second jumps are insane. I think that he's actually going to – he actually might fit better. And sorry to hijack it a little bit, but I've been thinking a lot about who – if I were Coach K, who I'd start with, my starting five. And part of me wonders if DeAndre is like a better fit talent-wise with the rest of – and talent and skill-wise with the rest of the starters that I would pick.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, I wouldn't say that's like necessarily wrong. And Boogie coming off as like the insane scoring energy pick off the bench is sort of interesting too. So that's not high-checking. But I mean, is there anybody else you think is really primed at these Olympics to sort of break out and become a really big star? Like, we've talked about Kyrie, and we'll talk about him a lot more, and you have Boogie. I think there's a couple guys that are really, really primed to blossom here.
I have, this is a kind of not really answering your question, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, thanks, Carmelo.
Yeah, sorry. I think we're going to reappreciate Carmelo Anthony again.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
He's been in the NBA desert for a while, and he gets a lot of flack for, you know, just taking the big money from the Knicks and not really being a winner. But God, that guy is pretty fun to watch play basketball.
He's really good.
He's so good. He's so smooth. His jumper is just gorgeous, especially with his shorter 3-point line. And I don't know if you've noticed, the media cycle really seems to be like circling around Carmelo. Like, I know you said that this is Durant's team, but none of, like, in terms of on court, but none of the coverage has really indicated that it's anyone's but Melo's, right?
No, and I think that's true. I mean, I think it's because he's the old dude on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went from being he's part of the whole generation of this, like, quasi-generation of USA basketball, where, you know, he was part of that 04 team that lost in Greece. Like, was embarrassed in Greece, and when he was really young, him and LeBron and all those guys. And now it is 2016, a good 12 years later, and he's older Carmelo, who's always been great on the international stage. Like, Olympic Melo is like a thing because it's what you talked about. Like, I think it might have been off air, but it's, you get to see Melo do these things that you don't get to see him do at the Knicks for reasons that are partially him and partially because the Knicks just have never been able to put other really good complimentary pieces around Carmelo to allow him to do sort of better things. Like, he has to do other stuff.
Yeah, it's just fun to watch because this is a guy who, you know, maybe in hindsight, you know, that his career is kind of, you know, not winding down, but it's not on its upswing anymore.
No.
It just makes you think, man, it kind of would have been fun to watch this guy be the second best player on his team.
Yeah, like, imagine if Carmelo had played with, like, on it, like, just like a kind of because of their friends. Like, if you would have played with like Chris Paul when they were both sort of figuring themselves out when they were younger, when Paul was in the Hornets or something, like, if one of those, they would have been together somehow, like that. That's like, you get Carmelo in that situation, I think you view him differently.
Yeah.
And the Knicks' offseason moves don't make that perception any, I guess, more, like, us more likely to look at Melo differently, but it's almost like I think it's possible where he's headed that you do get this like Olympic Melo carryover where like he's playing with Porzingis, and if, you know, you get something out of Rose, and if they had just built a little bit differently, I think you could see that as he gets older. Like, hey, it's time to reappreciate what Carmelo Anthony is and has been for such a long time. Because as much as he gets flack and he hasn't won and all this stuff, like, he's really, really good, and he's one of the best. He's one of the best players of his generation. I think there's a pretty good argument for him that he's the second best player in that 03 draft, even.
I would not make that argument.
I'm not saying I would make it. I'm saying it's possible.
I don't think it's possible.
No, I think it's possible.
Wade is a top three shooting guard of all time, and LeBron James. It's not possible, Chris.
Yeah, whatever.
You could make a wrong argument.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can at least.
Yeah, I
don't think it's like unfathomable to make. I wouldn't agree with it, but I don't think it's like unfathomable to like lay out the case. Wow, whatever. But it'd be cool to see Melo kind of be really big in this team. I think he's going to score a lot. You know, I think, like, in that sense, he's going to score a lot. I just think you're going to, like, Durant is, like, at the near the peak of peak Durant. It's peak Durant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely the best player on the team. I wasn't making that argument at all.
Yeah. I think the other guy that's really primed to have a really big tournament is Paul George. I mean, and I think some of it's because it's sort of an inspiration porn sort of thing here, because he's coming back from that. Neat, like, from the gruesome, this is his first like international thing since his leg injury a couple years ago, and at that point he wasn't really solidified as a guy who had figured it all out yet. He wasn't even a guarantee to make that roster, if I remember correctly, and some of his story is going to be like kind of hyping up the oh, he's coming back from, you know, the thing, which, you know, I think is sort of like, okay, like, you need to mention it, but it's not like the whole story here. I think the story here is with George. He was really good for most of last season, and I think some of it's getting his legs under him. But you hear guys talk about how he's playing at camp. Like, Kyrie is like, I'm in awe of this dude. Like, he just is amazing.
And he also has a little, sorry to jump in, but yeah. He also has a little momentum from that playoffs against the against the Raptors. They didn't win because that roster is pretty deficient, but they had nothing for that guy.
Yeah, they had nothing for him. I mean, he's really trending in this right direction where he was once he said he wanted to play, he was like a lock for this roster, especially because Kawhi and LeBron aren't there. And partially because they're not there, I think there's this huge void where he can do some things defensively in terms of creation, in terms of scoring, where he's going to do a ton of stuff. And he's a really, really fun player to watch. He's a high flyer. He dunks. He, you know, plays really good defense. He can switch a bunch of stuff. Like, he's going to be a key part of the USA defense where they can switch almost, like, certain lineups. They'll be able to switch, like, 2 through 4, no problem.
Is he the most overwhelming athlete on the roster?
Yes.
Because I was watching that Argentina game, and they're all awesome. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, those, like, you go back and look at the Redeem team, like, peak LeBron, peak Dwight Howard. That team was just peak Wade, just like overwhelmingly athletic. Mm-hmm. Like, this team is super long, tall, coordinated, skilled, but they're not insanely athletic like that older team was.
No, I mean, because it's, you have Kyrie, who's sort of like a, it's like a cliche with him now, but he's like an R&B song instead of a rap song. Like, he's sort of very smooth. Durant's very smooth. Clay's very smooth. Draymond's athletic, but he's not.
Not that kind
he's
of
not
athletic.
Like, he's not like, Paul George. Yeah, I think that's fair, because Melo's just a smooth player, too. I think George is, like, maybe... Boogie might be there just because of what he... But it's
I
more
think DeAndre is more that fit of I, what I'm not, talking I, about.
Yeah. I think it's probably, like, for me, it'd be, like, Paul George and then, like, Boogie and DeAndre. Boogie played because of physicality and how actually well he can move for being his size and be moving, like, more functionally than DeAndre. But, like, I think you're right. The answer is clearly Paul George is the most overwhelming athlete on this team. And you could maybe argue that I haven't looked at the full rosters, but he might be that guy in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be someone from U.S., right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think you're right. He's got a chance to really break out. But also, I was thinking when you were asking this question leading in, I don't really know if there is a full-on breakout guy. Because of the fact that this is the Olympic team. I think that there's a lot more opportunity to break out because all these guys are, for the most part, known quantities at this point.
I think in our basketball Twitter circle, you're correct. But I think the beauty of USA basketball is that you're getting guys who aren't big stars yet getting a chance to be viewed by the national public. So,
yeah,
like,
but I guess what I'm saying is, like, the Olympic team it's going to be harder to break out because people are more known than the guys who go to the World Cup.
No, I think that's true, but I think you just look at this roster because LeBron's not there, because Curry's not there. You don't have those two iconic players there, and everyone sort of knows Durant. I think there's these openings for guys to be like your average Joe fan who maybe only watches the finals and like some random like national TV games. He's going to get to watch Paul George and be like, oh my God, I might need to watch the Pacers a few times next year because Paul George is awesome. Or, oh my God, Boogie Cousins just dunked over that dude and knocked him over and mean mugged him. Like, I love that. Like, I need to watch that guy. Like, I think there's a chance in that sense. It's not going to be, it's never stat things with this. It's just how you're perceived and how
100%.
You like build your brand at these Olympics. And I think there's a couple guys that can actually do that in a really functional way. And I, like, Carmelo certainly falls in that too. Like, I think if Carmelo comes out and has this really good Olympics, and is Porzingis playing in the Olympics?
I don't think so. Okay, I don't think his team qualified.
Yeah, I don't think they did either. But like, you look at Carmelo, and it'd be better if, yeah, you're right. Yeah, if Porzingis is playing in these Olympics and he's not, but even just Carmelo on his own, like, you'd be like, oh man, Carmelo's actually really good. Like, maybe I need to watch the Knicks, and then they're going to be really sad because they're watching Derrick Rose. But, like, you know, baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Latvia has, like, any NBA talent outside of Zenger.
Of course, yeah, he's, like, the generation guy. But,
yeah, so they don't really, they're probably not going to ever qualify. Yeah.
And I also just think there's not the international guys, like, the young international guys, in the sense, like, of breaking out and kind of getting some general mainstream casual fan recognition. Like, there's not, there's no one on Spain, really, that's primed to do that, I don't think. There's not anybody. Canada didn't qualify, so like your Wiggins, and Wiggins wasn't playing anyway, so like your Wiggins or your Jamal Murray's or your Tristan Thompson's aren't going to get that more.
Like, I mean, casual fantasy. There are some guys, and we'll talk about that on the other pod. You know, like Dario Saric is going to have a chance to break out, Nikola Jokic, but not on the level of superstardom, probably.
No, and I think it's also just because those teams, for those guys, unfortunately, like, Jokic is great. Like, not enough people watched him last year because he plays in Denver, but he's great. Like, he's a really, really great prospect at center. But because
just not Paul George. He's not at that level.
No, and they're also just like, I don't think your average fan is unfortunately going to tune in to watch, you know, Serbia and China play or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to happen, unfortunately. Like, that might be a really interesting game because you're going to see Yi Jin Lin and dudes, like, square off. But, like, they're just, your average Joe isn't going to take the time on a, or tape it or something. He's not going to do that. I might do that because I watch way too much basketball for my own health. But, like, you might do it too because I know you're all in on this FIBA thing. But,
yeah.
Like, your average guy's not going to do that. And I think unless they play the U.S., they're not going to see Saric three times. They might see him once. And then is that enough? I just don't know. If you see Paul George dunk over dudes like four games in a row, like, yeah, I'm going to watch more Pacers games next year.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it, I mean, and they're going to kill. I really think they're going to probably kill everyone.
No,
like they normally do.
Spain would have been the team. I would have been like, okay, they maybe have a chance, but Gasol's not playing.
See, I've actually kind of moved past Spain, and I think that if we're looking at threats, it's France is really dangerous because of their size.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're going to kill everyone, and I think it'll mostly be fun to watch. And it's funny, I don't know about you, not to hijack yet again, as I always freaking do.
Jeez, Carl.
But do you find yourself rooting for Team USA basketball?
Yes.
Because I don't. This is like the thing. I'm interested in them, and I'd like them to all play well. But in terms of, like, I think the disparity of talent is so, the pendulum is swung so far that I'm almost rooting for the other teams to make it competitive just so I know that they can lose. And then I can, like, jump back in as a USA fan.
I don't really have it. I just know, like, I'm just going to watch this knowing that USA is probably going to do really well, and if I can get some really good surprises, I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'm mostly just going to try to watch guys like Jokic and Saric and guys that are like really young and talented that I won't get to watch, you know, like unless they play the U.S., or like just won't get to watch as much and I'm not as familiar with. And I'll take enjoyment in that, but I am going to root for USA. Like,
yeah, it's not that I don't root for them. It's that I root for close games almost ahead of rooting for USA because that's so fun to watch, like, the United States be challenged in a game, like when Spain was really making them work. I went back and watched that final from a couple Olympics ago, and I was like my heart rate was like going up just watching it be competitive. I was like, oh man, this is so much more fun than a 40-point blowout, if I ultimately want the United States to win.
Yeah, I think I agree with that in terms of later in the tournament, but I think in the first couple rounds, I just want to see some really nutso stuff. Like, I want to see, like, a Kyrie Durant pick and roll that, like, you know, some hapless country has no chance of stopping. Like, I don't mind seeing that for a little bit, and then I think you're probably right that I do want to see at least one competitive U.S. game. And there is probably just going to be a game because it's just this just happens unless they're so locked in, which I just can't imagine they totally are for some theories that I have. And I don't, like, I think you win one really big game, you might take a game off, but, like, I think there's going to be one game where, like, they just play kind of sloppily. Like, that just always happens. And then I think, like, they figure it out and, like, it's fine. Like, there's probably going to be, like, one game in the quarterfinals or something where they slip up. And then if they get a good, like, they meet France in the finals or something, then, like, maybe they get a close game to have to win the gold medal.
Yeah, I just like to see these guys tested because it's fun to watch them really work. Because how often do you get to see this level of talent work? Like, because once it gets to 40 points, I'm just watching another version of an all-star game.
That's true. And I think that's, like, I think that's maybe why international basketball doesn't really resonate with your average casual sports fan or your average viewer. Because, like, the Olympics are hitting this really big pool of people that I don't think normally watch sports.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Fair.
Like, my mom is going to watch the Olympics, like, at least a couple times. She'll watch gymnastics. Like, my girlfriend, well, like, it's hard to get her to watch, like, a basketball game or, like, get her to pay attention when we go to a baseball game in downtown Cleveland. But, like, if gymnastics or track and field is on, like, her interest is acute because it's unique and, like, it's sort of, like, these quick bursts and it's just, like, you can't watch that all the time. Like, it resonates in a different way. And it's, like, basketball, it's, like, you know, like, why would I, like, I think your average person probably does assume, like, USA is just going to wreck people. And they're right.
Yeah, and they're going to watch that show too. You know. Like,
yeah.
I think people really do like watching the Olympics.
No, I think they like watching.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just it's really fun when it's tight.
Yeah. I mean, my point is just, like, I don't know if, like, for unless you're, I think sometimes with basketball, like, we're so insulated within our, like, community of Twitter users and bloggers and stuff that, like, we just are like, okay, like, basketball is, like, this insanely, like, thing. But I know I have friends that it doesn't really resonate with. And I think, like, your average, like, doesn't resonate with every average person. Like, it's really growing in a lot of ways. But I think with some of your average viewers out there, it's not, it doesn't resonate. And at the Olympics, like, if you just assume USA is going to win, like, why are you going to take time out of your day or at night to watch when, like, you could watch some, you could watch Usain Bolt or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what it'll look like. I think I think you would certainly help viewership if they struggle. Carter, are there any other Team USA takes that you have that, or just one-line thoughts that you're looking forward to seeing that we haven't touched yet on the podcast?
Sure. Let's. I brought this up earlier, but I wouldn't mind if you and I put together our, like, no egos, no, you know, just completely subjective, our starting lineups for the team.
Okay. Let me just think about this for a second. I don't know if you have one in mind already.
I'll go ahead and start. I think Kyrie would be my point guard. Clay is going to be my shooting guard. And then I'm going to go, in terms of just the lineup I most want to see, I think I'm going to go George, Durant, Draymond.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go Kyrie Irving in my point guard, and I'm going to go with, I'm going to get weird here. I'm going to go Paul George at two. I'm going to go KD at the three. I'm going to go Carmelo at the four, and I'm going to go Draymond at the five.
There you go.
I'm going to go super big and just super athletic and switch everything one through four.
That's my favorite thing about when we talk about, like, oh, the U.S. can do small ball. Yeah, and what's funny about, like, you know, people, like, say, you know, oh, the U.S. can go small ball, but, like, what they're not really thinking about is, like, that lineup is going to be bigger than, like, 98% of everyone they're going to play against.
Yeah.
Like, small ball with Kevin Durant, who is 7 freaking feet at the four, not small ball to anyone else. Like, that poor Argentina team that was, like, even when they had their, you know, their wings, quote-unquote, at the on as big, it just didn't matter because they're just enormous. Yeah. So small ball is, like, my favorite, like, misnomer for the Olympic season.
Yeah, like, Zouqui, when he's playing Team USA, like, Kevin Durant's a more physical appropriate matchup for him than DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Real quick, before, it's the last thing here, I think you're going to say USA is going to win gold?
Yeah, I'd be absolutely stunned if they didn't.
Okay. Who, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who wins the most valuable player of the tournament?
Who? I think it's going to be Melo. I think the team really respects him and rallies around him, and I think they're going to actually try to get him his shots.
Yeah. I'm going to go, this is a bit of a homer pick, and I have Kyrie Irving. I'm going to call it.
You're fine.
I think it's one of Carmelo, Durant, or Kyrie that wins it, with Paul George as my dark horse.
Sure.
But I'm also here for Boogie Cousins, gold medalist and tournament MVP. Like, I'm pretty here
for that.
That's
not happening.
Carter, let me dream.
All right.
I'm here for it. I just need dream one big time. If I can't have Deion Waiters gold medalist, I need DeMarcus Cousins tournament MVP.
That's right.
I think that's fair.
100%.
But Carter, thank you for coming on the show today. As always, we love having you on. And where can the listeners find you on Twitter?
You can find me on at Carter_Shade. SHADE.
And you can find all of his writings as well as mine at fearthesword.com. Carter is also a producer at 120 Sports, which you should download their app and check it out. It's pretty cool. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Cavs, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff. Again, this is a little bit of a USA Basketball/Olympics series for us this week. It will do some stuff during the Olympics too, but this will be like our biggest chunk of Olympic content, I think, because we're going to get to some hit points this summer, and I don't think you want to hear us talk about a 30-point USA win for like 25 minutes. I don't know if that's what you guys are hoping for, but we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Napa Know-How. It
takes a lot to get excited about a bag. But most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.